till noon, there's only one choice for local talk. Rick Emerson, right here on Max 910, Talk Radio for Guys.
All right, 503-535-9101-877-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. I appreciate you coming by. See, I'm already getting all the hate mail about the about Aaron's list. It's not my list, it's Aaron's. Rick, if Vancouver is like being beaten by an abusive parent, tell me, my friend, what is Salem? Salem is like being molested by an abusive uncle. Well, because it's not like really, it's a much more distant relation. It's like a chain-smoking uncle who always reeks of bad gin who wants to teach you how to kiss on Christmas after too many eggnogs. That's what Salem is. All right. It's 503.
Ew.
Whereas my neighborhood is more like the meth-using boyfriend who gives you hepatitis. It's 503-535-9100, 1-877-535-9100. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From 94.7 FM, Alternative Portland, our good friend Gustav joins us now.
What's his elf name?
Lycaon. He says with great enthusiasm.
Fantastic.
I love this music. What is this music?
This is from...
Wait, hold on. Yeah.
I should have to tell you.
Yeah.
It's some...
No, I can tell you.
Some orc music or some crap.
No, my friend. This is Alliance music right here. This is the music that plays as you walk into Stormwind, which is one of the Alliance capital cities.
Is it now?
And you have to imagine that, like, you're walking beneath these gigantic statues of the forces of good with axes and swords raised against that is the evil horde. As you can tell, I was doing a lot of good.
Does your wife tell people that she's married to somebody else? Does she tell people she's married to Greg?
No. No, she's okay with it. I mean, because we've both got our own sort of little geekisms.
Right.
Can I hear that music again? That was really kind of inspiring.
This is going to be your official entry music, by the way.
I love that
from
music.
Now on.
Yes. So now you have to imagine, Rick, you're walking into the city.
Close your eyes, Rick.
Oh, okay. And you see the captain of the guard, and he kind of, you know, salutes you as you walk past him. And then you see everybody walking about doing their business. There are people selling freshly baked bread. There are fish vendors. There are shops where you can buy armor. Are you getting this now?
I am.
Are you feeling that?
Perhaps I wasn't appreciating the...
I guess you weren't.
So, Gustav, have you ever seen The Neverending Story?
Yeah.
Is it like that with the two statue guys eyes?
It kind of is, actually.
Okay.
That's a very Lord of the Rings, as they're going on the river toward the end of the movie, the first Lord of the Rings, and they've got the giant statues, you know.
Okay. Don't get me wrong, I'm not casting aspersions in any way.
Hey,
I mean, you're talking to a guy. You are talking to a guy who's leaving here at 12:01 today to go pick up his limited edition copy of Doom 3 for Xbox, which I pre-ordered. Man, the guy, seriously, the guy, because I went into the video game store and I was like, hey, when's Doom 3 coming? The guy, Doom 3 is coming out on April 4th. Have you pre-ordered? And I said, well, yes, I have, sir. Have you pre-ordered the special edition, though? And I said, I don't know, sir. What comprises the special edition? The special edition has outtakes and storyboards of the gaming experience. Plus, it contains the complete original Ultimate Doom and Doom 2 games that you can also play on your Xbox.
Or anything that has the word bundle in it. Bundle is a guaranteed buy for me. Like it could be like mayonnaise. You know, if it's in a bundle, I'm gonna pick it up. You know, because like bundled software, we've learned over the years that that's like an incredibly good thing.
Well, and it's a value added thing. That it's like if you buy this, you also get, even if it's like extras you couldn't possibly want. You know what?
Like 2 minutes into your show, I have to make a retraction. I just realized I made a critical error, and someone's going to call me on this, so I want to mention it before it happens.
All right.
It wasn't the city of Stormwind. It's actually Ironforge that's the music from. So before somebody calls me on my...
I was about to kick you the hell out of the studio for making that mistake.
Before somebody calls me on my geekdom, I better change that to Ironforge instead of Stormwind.
This is exactly the audience to do it, too. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but we have a salesperson here. She'll remain nameless at the moment, but there's... a salesperson who is working with a cinema. Put it that way. I don't want to quash the deal or anything. She's working with a cinema about some upcoming high-profile film releases. And she comes up to me and she catches me in the hallway. This is when you realize that the salespeople don't ever actually listen to the show. That they only have the vaguest idea of, like, who... like, you know, like, if they were to walk in here right now, they wouldn't know who's Rick, who's Sarah. They would have no idea. And then she said, now, Rick? And I said, yes. And it was that sort of Rick that the implied question is that your name? Rick? And I said, yes, how can I help you today, salesperson? And she said, Now, would your audience have any interest in, like, a Star Wars movie?
My God. I know exactly,
like,
who that is.
Too. And it's like, how do you explain? You know what I mean? And like, how does one convey in mere words exactly how into that this audience would be? You know what I mean? There's just no way to... There's no way to really quantify that. So, all right. Well, so we've had this whole geek-oriented show today where we had the top five geek musical acts of all time.
Yeah, excuse me. Hold on a second.
Hey, don't address it to me, first of all. Address your complaints to Aaron Geek in the City because it was his list.
Devo.
I know. I got a million Devo.
Okay, yeah.
I got Devo. I got the Rush is the other one I heard from people about.
Well, that's just because a lot of gamers listened to Rush back in the early 80s. You know what I mean? That was like the quintessential sort of Dungeons & Dragons music.
No, it's true.
That and Blue Oyster Cult.
At one point, we did top five musical acts most likely playing in the background during a Dungeons & Dragons game. We did that. Rush was on the list. I think Devo was on that list. Weird Al Yankovic, of course. Yeah. I got a whole bunch of email about Rush, though. So, whatever. Or about Devo, though. So you're right. It's you know, whatever. All right. So the great thing about you wanted to come back on it and discuss this a little bit is we didn't get a chance to talk about the ostensible reason you were here last week. We were talking about this video game addiction and just being like, we were at the Bigger Than Jesus rehearsal space last night and
breaking mirrors.
Shattering mirrors and being unproductive. And so the band, the Bigger Than Jesus house band, is setting up. And, the guys are setting up their instruments. We're talking about stuff. And we fell into some. Oh, I mentioned that Doom 3 was coming out today. And the drummer. And at that moment, Joni, the director, rolls her eyes, starts to clench her teeth because she knows that it's another half an hour of getting nothing done. While a bunch of long-haired, pasty guys sit around and go, have you played Ultima 5? You know, and then our musical director, Chris, starts talking about WrestleMania 21, and then we get into a wrestling video game thing. The drummer notes at one point that whenever he gets ready to record an album, he actually has to remove all video games from his house, or else he will never get anything done. So we're talking about this whole thing. And I mentioned that Doom 3 was coming out. We started talking about this. All the time in my life I have lost to sitting in front of Doom and Quake and all the first-person shooters. And I don't want to say the magazine because otherwise somebody will Google it and then they'll figure it out. But this thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week, there's a magazine which shall remain nameless at the moment because I want to keep the list secret for now. But there was a magazine that ranked the most addictive video games of all time in terms of estimated man hours lost to these video games.
Nice. Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll take a few phone calls here about it, and we'll talk about some other stuff, and we'll take your observations on. So we'll take your kind of guesses, and here's the thing: if you are able to guess the number one, that's almost too easy. It's almost too easy to say number one. I should say, like, number four. Because we always, like, when we're top five, we do this sometimes about a top five list or a top ten list, and we always say to people, like, if you can guess what the number one, but it's almost too obvious sometimes. So you know what? We'll do a little backward here. I hold in my hands, let's see, what is this? I hold in my hands a gift certificate to Budget Computers. Our good friends, Tim Anderson and Rick Lamberson, they do computer time. Right here on the weekends on Max 910. I hold here a Budget Computers gift certificate, which we will award to he or she who is able to guess the number four entry on this list. So I'll give you the phone number. It's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. So we have here ranked by an unnamed magazine. We have here ranked the top five most addictive video games of all time. So we'll do this twofold. We'll see if you can nail what number four is, and then we'll also, to make ourselves feel less alone, to make ourselves feel incrementally less pathetic, we will take your stories of video game addiction, which is a thing we've talked about before on the program, because it makes me feel better about my own weakness and my own inability to turn off a piece of inanimate furniture in my house that consumes 80% of my waking hours.
See, I can't believe you were watching TV when your house got egged. I thought you would have been, like, you know, playing some sort of game or something.
I had been playing Halo, but after a while, it's like I start to get the...
The ocular burn. Yeah.
And, like when your screensaver is burned into your monitor.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and plus I had been... I'd played, I don't know, five or six games of Halo 2 online, and I had been rolling tape on it, as I always do, and I had to take a pause to go edit some of it down. So we have a new installment of the Xbox files we'll play here in a little while, which is my forays into the world of online trash talking. So we'll play some of those. Here, just a few. So I'm going to go ahead and just kind of take these as they come in. We'll see if anybody can hit number four on this list. Talking about the most addictive video games of all time. We're here with Gustav from 94.7 FM. Richard, you on a cell phone. What's up?
Not much.
So what do you got?
I got to get Final Fantasy VIII.
Something I've always wondered. If it's a Final Fantasy, how can there be eight of them?
Yeah, no doubt. And there's 12.
It's like being the lone gunman. You know, it doesn't see how that make any sense. It doesn't.
Yeah.
All right. Now, are you speaking from personal experience here?
Yeah.
All right. So how many hours of your life would you say you've thrown away on this game or invested?
Oh God,
I'm sorry.
Couple hundred probably.
Wait, why eight and not like nine?
I don't know. I like that the eight better than nine. I like it better than 10.
So it's kind of like Star Trek, where like the even numbered movies are good and the odd ones are bad.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. There you go. That's Richard and Stefan. Sadly, that is not the answer. Randy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
I'm going to say EverQuest, or as my friends like to call it, EverCrack.
EverCrack. Mm-hmm. EverQuest is number two, Randy. My friend, EverQuest is number two in the list. Now, everybody, and especially people who are geeks, dorks in the gaming community, everybody has a story like this. And I have, I'll use her name because she doesn't live here. Her name's Tiffany. But a girl I knew. And when her name is Tiffany, you kind of know she's bad news anyway. I mean, come on. Let's you and I be honest about that. Her name is Tiffany. This is another state, but Tiffany was an EverQuest player. EverQuest is an online role-playing game. The game is, and the insidious thing about these games like EverQuest is that the game is always going even when you're not online, right, Gustav? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Always go, even when you're not, like when I turn off Halo, the game's over.
Right.
You know, when I log out of a Halo game, you know, the other dudes finish up their game and then it's done. The game vanishes. And EverQuest is constantly going.
Especially if you're in an actual group of people and you're all trying to get something done. And then like a real world emergency happens, like a diaper change or something. And you don't want to leave the computer.
Right.
I don't mean a diaper change for me. I mean for, you know, the babies.
Yeah. Have you ever changed the diaper with one hand and continue playing with another?
I was willing to give it a shot this past weekend, but then thought, you know, I don't want like biological material getting on the keyboard
So
I
other biological material.
So
anyway.
I literally had to type BRB, you know, be right back, diaper change. And then everybody started laughing because they thought that I was talking about me, that I was so addicted
to
the game.
Had to
yeah,
go
exactly.
Away.
That I was sitting in my own filth because I could not get away from World of Warcraft. But I'll tell you, it's almost come to that.
So. But this girl, Tiffany, man, it's like the same. It's the old story where she. And it's weird because you never heard these stories about 10 years ago. It's a whole brand new neurosis that technology has. It's like those furries and plushies. Like people, like a thing that you never heard of until 10 years ago. It didn't exist until the internet enabled its existence.
That's right.
So it is with this. Tiffany played EverQuest constantly. She was in a relationship. She was with another woman, and they had two kids together in a house and a car and everything. Her girlfriend, her wife or whatever, is just like, you know, you got to knock it off. You're missing work. She would call in sick. She finally loses her job. They have to move to a smaller place. The girlfriend kicks her out. She loses custody of her kids. She started spending all of her money at like cyber cafes
for the internet. Yeah.
Trying to play online. Seriously, like fixing it at Kinko's somewhere. Like, you know, it's like she's putting the virtual tubing around her arm at a Mocha modem place somewhere. Trying to play EverQuest. And the last thing anybody heard of her is she had lost everything, lost her car, didn't have any place to live.
Oh, man.
Couldn't save up for an apartment because all of her money went right into the computer to play EverQuest. Completely true story, which I would think was false if I didn't know the girl. It's a completely true story. So, number two, Randy. So there you go. That's Randy. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I'm going to guess Diablo.
Diablo is not in the top five anyway.
Great game, Diablo.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
Now, what is Diablo?
Diablo is it's another game from our fine friends at Blizzard who put out World of Warcraft.
Right.
And it came out probably like 6 or 7 years ago now. And it's basically, it's kind of the same idea. You've got a character, you can amass, you know, weapons, armor, that sort of thing. It's not quite as immersive of a world of World of Warcraft, but, you know, it was kind of like the precursor to it.
All right. So there you go. So, Chad, is this something you've lost your life to?
No, you know, I'm not much of a video game guy, but I have a family member who is like your friend Tiffany, constantly on this Diablo thing all the time. So I figured I'd take a guess.
Like we're talking about shooting smack into your eyeball or something. I have a family member in the same situation. All right, there you go. That's Chad. Next up, Derek. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. This this is Derek. I'm going to guess The Sims.
The Sims is number five, actually, almost.
Oh.
The Sims is number five, and I'm speaking as somebody who has a wife who is hopelessly addicted to The Sims. The Sims busting out. The Sims Spice Life, or whatever the sex one is, where you can make all the characters hump each other.
You can do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like porn or anything, but it's like you can get them in, you get them into little relationships, and then they pair off, and they have children, and it's...
Wow.
It's a total chick thing, too, because it's like... Because The Sims is work. I mean, it's like having an ant farm with, like, the most intelligent, complicated ants on Earth. As guys, I don't think you can fathom. Spend all day at work, you go home, and then you want to buy a thing for $49 where you just have to work all the time.
That's right.
Like, literally, the characters have to get jobs. They have to. You have to get the characters up in the morning, get them off to the office. They have to pay rent. They have to, like, you have to get them to go to the bathroom on time. It's like having one of those Tamagotchi pets, like, to the nth power.
Yeah, you don't feed it, it dies.
Seriously, no. Thank you, Derek. That's Derek. Seriously, she had the Sim family. I forget what they were called. They were called the Laras or whatever. She had some Sim family. And she had one of the characters, like, hadn't slept in a long time, and so it had to take a nap. But she forgot that they were cooking bacon or something in the kitchen. The kitchen starts on fire. Her Sim character runs in to try to put out the fire. The character catches on fire, burns to death.
You can't call the Sim fire department?
She called the fire department, but they were too late. They put out the fire. Her character dies. I mean, this is my wife, a presumably normal American we're talking about. The character dies, and when the character in The Sims dies, it just becomes a little urn. So the urn appears in the kitchen. A new family moves in later, and every so often, the new Sims family that lives in the house has to stop at the urn and cry for a while. And there is actually a /mourn command.
You are kidding.
I am not kidding.
Oh, man.
So, and it was traumatic, like when her character burned to death, like she cried. She went to the other room. I'm such a bad Sim parent. I wasn't there for them when they needed me. It was like the freakiest thing I've ever seen in my life. We'll take one more, and then we'll break. Jason, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
How you doing?
Well, it's cool. We're here with Gustav from 94.7. We're talking about addictive video games. You know, take a guess at what number four on this list is.
How about Neverwinter Nights?
Our own F. Matt Peterson plays that. I don't know anything about it. It sounds like some game where you kill Nazis.
It's no, not even close. It's basically like advanced Dungeons and Dragons, but ported over to the computer system. It's got like the same rules as D&D. It's got the same armor schemes.
Isn't everything? Isn't everything really advanced Dungeons and Dragons in some way?
I hope so.
Isn't every game on Earth essentially that now?
Yeah.
You're talking about games that have spawned off of them. I mean, Dungeons and Dragons is over 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. All right,
there you go. Jason, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, there you go. All right, we're here with Gustav from 94.7 FM, Alternative Portland. We're talking about most addictive video games. Doom 3 is out today, by the way. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back, and we'll continue our quest, see if anybody can nail number 4 on the list. It's 503-535-9100, The Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Back after this. Now we're sitting talking about iPods and gigs and nerds. Listen up! I'm going to be listening to my Britney Spears record. Hi there. See, that again is the thing of me only having one voice. Because my Joan Cusack and Stan Marsh's sister and the guy at Fry's are all the same to me. All right.
I used to be fun. I used to sing Stevie Nicks.
503-535-9100. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day. The final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming by. We're here with Gustav from 94.7 FM, Alternative Portland. And you host a very fine radio program there from 2 till 7.
Thank you, yeah.
With the cocktail mix at 6, right?
That's right, yeah.
Look at me all over that with the cross promotion. All right, so we're talking about video games. Because we're losers, and that's what we do. But we have this list from an unnamed magazine. I'm not giving the magazine out because you go look it up and you find it on the internet, one of the internets. And so we were talking about most of these video games, and rather than just having people guess the first one, like number one, which is always a lot easier, We're seeing if anybody can nail number four. The number, and I will give you a hint that number four is an old school game. Because I think they have to judge on a curve, because it's like when they judge greatest video games of all time. It's unfair to judge, like, Asteroids against EverQuest.
Right.
So you got to judge it relative to the time, relative to what came before it, to how groundbreaking it was at the time. So number four, we're asking if you can get number four on this list, and if so, you get a gift certificate from Budget Computers in Beaverton. Number four is an old-school game, so I'll tell you that. Let's see here. We've got Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, man. I guess Myst.
Myst is absolutely the guy. It's not number four, sadly, but the guy who is the musical director for the Bigger Than Jesus house band, Chris, he talked about how he lost a whole summer of his life to that game, and at the end, he had to remove it from his computer. He had to take all his journals, all the things covering his office, his whiteboard, his chalkboard, and lock it all in a warehouse and never go look at it again because he didn't want to be reminded of his shame and how much time he lost. And
that's great.
And he had to make a mental note, like, never to buy Riven or any of the follow-ups.
Yeah.
So is that a thing that happened to you?
No, actually, mine was the Atari 2600. Got it when it very first came out for like $175.
Oh, that thing was huge.
And getting the wrist problems and the callus and the...
The eyes bugging out of the head with Asteroids.
I remember how you'd forget to blink sometimes with that thing and like your eyes would get all dry and whatnot. And you, why are my eyes burning? And then you blink and it's like... Yeah, because you've just been staring at the combat or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Rick.
Thank you, man. There you go. Let's never thought that whoever that is. Let's get Eric. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, I was going to guess Half-Life, but I kind of want to change it to Zelda since you said it was an old school game.
Now, Zelda's number six, actually.
Oh, really?
We did the top five stuff. We pulled the five and then the honorable mention. Zelda is number six. Zelda, which is particularly addictive to girls for some reason. Zelda...
I lost a summer of my life to Zelda.
You and Lara both. Every so often, they'll find some Achilles heel with women. And I think it's problem solving appeals to women.
The best thing that happened to me was when my character, I went to turn it on and all my hearts that I had earned, over 3 months, just had disappeared.
Oh.
And I just cried. Oh. I'm like, this is a sign.
You earn hearts?
Yeah, you can earn like extra hearts so you can live longer if you're battling inside. Oh. I'm going to stop.
That's like with Ian Gordon, where Ian, we talked about this with the PlayStation had sent out... PlayStation, they send out demo CDs every couple months, like if you subscribe to their magazine or whatever.
PlayStation Underground.
Yes. Yes. And it's like demos of upcoming games. And PlayStation, there was a glitch, and it turned out if you put the demo disc in, it erased your Grand Theft Auto progress.
Really?
And that's a game that takes like 120 hours.
Oh, yeah, easily.
And Ian is like, I would kill. He's like, I would go and I would kill them. I would kill them and turn the gun on myself. Well, it's like we were all having playing a poker game together, and we had brought Xboxes to sort of play. If you went out of the poker game, you did that. Ian had brought Halo 2, and a guy started playing Halo 2 on Ian's profile. It didn't get a fresh profile. Started playing in Ian's profile, lost a bunch of progress, and then resaved the game and lost Ian like hours.
See, that's happened to me too.
Ian came in and he's like, where is he? To break his neck, and he was just like all like angry about it. All right, we quickly blow through a couple of these, and then we'll roll today's. See, the thing is, I don't think any of these people have got it. We'll quickly hit these. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's your guess here?
I'm guessing Tetris.
Tetris is actually number one. Tetris is actually number one, which is we were technically looking for number four.
I figured Solitaire would have been number one.
But I will tell you this. Let's see. We got your information here. I will tell you this. If no one gets number four, if the next couple calls don't get it, we'll go ahead and toss the gift certificate your way for getting number one. So there you go. So we'll get a hold of you there. All right, there you go. Let's get two more here. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
What do you got, brother?
Well, I was going to say Silk Song 2, but since you went with the old school stuff, I'm going to say Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, no. No. Sadly, no. Although I would agree that would be in the top. And certainly, that's a game that took, months of my existence that I will never get back. I mean, I can still... Wait, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
See, I can...
You are killing me.
You can do that today.
Totally. I can even do the bloop, 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 bloop. You know, the thing when you do
Where you get
a mushroom.
Yeah.
Let's never speak of this again. Thanks for calling.
Oh, I love Duck Hunt.
We'll do the Duck Hunt. We'll do the
Duck Hunt was boring.
We'll do one.
It was, but for like the first half hour you played it, it's just so much fun.
One more here. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, I was going to say Quake, but give me another hint on this old school. What kind of old school are we
give you a hint.
Like, would you play it in an arcade?
You played it in an arcade. You played in an arcade, and there was a medical condition named after it at the time. At the time, there was a condition you would get from playing it. The last word was wrist. You would get something. It was the name of the game and wrist.
It's not Pac-Man, is it?
It is not.
Ah, damn. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. No, there you go. All right, sadly, no, the answer was Space Invaders. Space Invaders was number 4. Space Invaders Wrist. And number 3, by the way, was Doom. The top 5 were Tetris, EverQuest, Doom, Space Invaders, The Sims, and Zelda. It's the top 6 there. So, I'm sorry that nobody got it. Well, we'll toss this to Chris. This budget computers gift certificate to Chris. Let's quickly roll the latest installment of the Xbox files. This is from Friday night, the night of the egging. This is the dudes online playing Halo 2 at my house. Let's go ahead and... By the way, the very first thing you'll hear is a girl claiming she's from Southeast Compton.
I'm like Southeast Compton, actually.
Right there.
Like you are, me too, you are, you know, like you. Me only speak Chinese.
Slayer. Lost the lead.
I'm gonna take you down. Yeah. Who's this? Who am I talking to? Hello?
What?
You fucking coward.
What the hell was that? That was gay. Blew yourself?
Yeah, no, you can't.
You just got smoked.
Beat it, Rumble Slayer. You bitch. Rumble Slayer's done.
Wait for it.
Anybody on the line?
Your mom, Mozart. Your mom.
Hey, where's
when in doubt, say your mom, and then say queers a lot. Yeah, the very first line there is that little white girl going, actually, I'm from Southeast Compton. It's fantastic.
Is Compton in Southeast?
I don't. Well, if you live in my neighborhood.
Okay.
All right, what's coming up on the 94.7 FM this afternoon?
Well, per the usual, we've got U2 tickets to give away, so you just listen for a block of U2 and answer a U2 trivia question correctly. You get tickets to the sold-out Seattle show, and, you know, just the usual cool music. Cocktail Mix at 6 on the way with my show, and I'm on from 2 to 7.
Excellent. So, and if people want to email you about the video game dorkdom?
Gustav at 94.7.fm.
There you go. All right, so be sure to check that out this afternoon from 2 till 7 if you're not checking out the Lycus. Don and Mike at noon, Lycus at 3, world-famous Phil Henry show at 7. Coming tomorrow, Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here, and we'll do the top 5 live albums of all time, and plus we'll get closer to Listener Party 8, which is coming up next Friday, the 15th. At the Viper Room on Hawthorne, featuring a live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show that night. As always, the Rick Emerson Show, produced by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon from Max 910. You can also hear her morning, 6 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, on Alternative Mornings with Sarah and Greg. Tim Riley in the Max 910 newsroom, and Kyle returns tomorrow on the phones. And we want to thank Gustav, who you can hear 2 till 7 on 94.7 FM, as always. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow. Be safe. See you in 21 hours. Bye.